Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Bloomberg Business News described U.S. hiring as downshifting dramatically last month, creating just 235,000 jobs, far less than earlier in the summer. Still, the national unemployment rate edged down to 5.2%, a sign that fewer people were searching for work. More than 3 million people have been jobless for 6 months or longer. That's almost three times as many long-term unemployed people than in February 2020 before the pandemic. Those long-term unemployed made up nearly 4 out of 10 of all unemployed last month. Is the outlook for job seekers improving in Maryland? In a few minutes, we'll learn about a nonprofit helping people improve their personal job outlook. First, we'll talk with reporter Brian Renbaum, who covers the Statehouse for the news site MarylandReporter.com. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you for having me.
Where do unemployment numbers stand in Maryland?
Well, in the last month, I would say for roughly July and August, we're looking at roughly 40 to 45,000 claims that were filed for unemployment in the state of Maryland. The state gained over 22,000 jobs in August. In July. The August numbers will be out on Friday. And our unemployment level is slightly higher than national average at 6%.
And how does that compare to pre-pandemic unemployment levels in the state?
Well, I have some numbers just to give you an example. In February 2020, that's a month before the pandemic started, there were 11,000 claims filed. A month later, in March 2020, when the pandemic started, that jumped to 190,000 claims. So we're looking at roughly a tenfold increase in claims just between then and the pandemic. And now, as I said before, we're back in the 40,000 range. So we're slowly getting closer to the pre-pandemic normal, but we're not there yet.
And with vaccines widely available and schools reopening, does job recovery seem to be picking up speed?
It is picking up steam gradually. Maryland is slightly below the national average, with our unemployment at 6%, but things are gradually improving, and a lot of it is dependent on how the variant progresses, where I think we're all watching to see, where that goes.
Well, federal pandemic unemployment programs expired 8 days ago, ending those benefits for about 100,000 Marylanders. The state's unemployment system has been struggling to meet demand. Give us some background on the problems people filing claims faced.
Well, we're roughly 18 and a half months into the pandemic, and some of the problems that were problems, a year and a half ago still linger. There's still thousands of people whose claims are stuck in adjudication, still thousands of people, who simply can't get a person on the phone, at the call center. And I get emails about this, several times a week, people asking me, what should I do about this? It's still a pervasive problem.
Why is it taking so long for people to receive benefits?
The adjudication process, where claims have been flagged as potentially fraudulent is certainly part of the issue. The grand scheme and answer, I don't know the answer to. I wrote a story a few weeks ago, asking delegates how they would fix it. And some of them had the idea that they would, if it were up to them, I remember one delegate saying, let's have it, a drive-through sign-up at the NVA. Get rid of, the computer part, because not everyone is computer literate, and then just have it, as you go and you drive in, just like in an MBA.
Which works great, I guess, if you've got a car. Not everybody does. How are these problems being investigated?
There's still lawmakers holding hearings, things of that nature. Some of the oversight is not as robust as it was when the problems were more pervasive than they were, but investigations are still continuing. And I would expect when the General Assembly reconvenes in January, there'll be more looking into it.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Brian Renbaum of MarylandReporter.com about the unemployment picture a year and a half after the pandemic shut down the economy. Governor Hogan tried to end these federal enhanced unemployment benefits early, citing worker shortages. You spoke to business leaders about whether ending the enhanced benefits would push people back to work. What did you learn?
Well, they said that ending the enhanced benefits might have some effect, but they also pointed to other factors that they think are, you know, the cause for lagging behind in job growth. And, you know, some of them mentioned, you know, first and foremost was childcare. Some people still don't have a place to put their kids in daycare. And other people are simply afraid to go back to work because of the variant, and they're afraid of contamination.
So how are employers trying to energize job seekers?
Some of them, you know, are increasing pay, you know, increasing benefits. They're getting creative, as business owners often do, to try to get people to come back to work the best they can.
Creative in what other ways besides benefits?
Bumping up pay, bumping up bonuses, things of that nature.
Brian, I appreciate your walking us through it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Renbaum is the Statehouse reporter for the news site MarylandReporter.com. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we've got links to more coverage of pandemic unemployment recovery in Maryland. Short break now. When we're back, a group offers virtual encouragement and advice to Baltimore's job seekers. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking this morning about the spike in pandemic unemployment and the challenges job seekers are facing, particularly those who have been out of work for 6 months or longer. Joining me is Janet Glover Kirkfleet, a licensed clinical professional counselor and a former Open Society Institute Baltimore Fellow. She founded the Baltimore Job Hunters Support Group, which offers free career coaching, job search advice, and encouragement to under- and unemployed adults. Welcome back to the show, Janet.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
How has the pandemic affected job hunting?
Well, aside from the obvious spike in the unemployment numbers, which were almost 15% in March 2020, and of course the shutdowns, job seekers have had to be more creative in how they're looking for work. There's a big increase in virtual networking, which is difficult for people at times, and there's fewer jobs out there for people to apply for. So networking, connecting with people, developing relationships has been critical in trying to uncover the jobs that are out there. Also, employers have been scrambling as well to figure out how to work best during a pandemic to keep their businesses going. As you know, many businesses have closed, particularly small businesses. There's been a lot of cuts at large businesses. So it's been an interesting and kind of frustrating scramble for job seekers to find work during a pandemic.
You see similarities between what we're experiencing now and the aftermath of the Great Recession a decade ago. Talk about that.
One of the things that we're seeing, of course, is a spike in long-term unemployment. Before the pandemic, before March 2020, there were 1.2 million people who were long-term unemployed. We're now looking at over 3 million people who are long-term unemployed. Right now, there's been a lot of sympathy for our people who lost their jobs due to the pandemic. But we see, we're already seeing an erosion of that. You hear politicians and other leaders saying, well, there's plenty of jobs out there. We don't need the unemployment boost anymore. People need to get back to work. But the reality is there are two main reasons that older workers in particular, those age 40 and over, are having difficulty finding jobs. And it's same after the Great Recession. One, a lot of people have not searched for jobs in a long time. People who have been in their careers 10 to 25 years haven't conducted a job search, and lots of things have changed. And two, there is an implicit biases that employers hold regarding older workers. there's the age factor, and there's also one that's called the overqualification bias, where employers think that because someone has lots of years of experience, they're not going to want to report to a younger boss. They're not going to want to take a role that's lesser than they were doing before, and they're not going to want to take a pay cut. And research has shown us that every time you lose a job, even through no fault of your own, there's probably going to be between a 5 and 20% pay cut. So employers think that older workers are not kind of up for all of that, and that's simply not true.
Your group pivoted to online meetings. How did you adapt your services for a virtual environment?
We did actually quite a bit in 2020 to adapt our services to the online environment. We always had a Zoom account. We didn't use it very much. We used it on what we called snow days, and people didn't really care for the Zoom meetings that much. But we immediately switched to Zoom services, and we added, made a big addition to our programming, our outplacement program that we call TeamWorks. So TeamWorks is a 12-week live virtual program where the cohorts met 12 hours a week. And we basically took all of the good things that we had learned over 10 years of running the Baltimore Job Hunter Support Group and compressed it all into a 12-week program. The reason for the 12 weeks is that that's the first three months of unemployment, the 6 months of people typically are being unemployed. We want people to kind of recharge, rebuild, and reconstruct their careers quickly so that they don't become long-term unemployed. And we're happy to report that we're in our fourth cohort of TeamWorks now, and about 60% of our graduates of TeamWork have found work within 6 months of completing the program. We're still trying to get that down. We want people to be employed even before they leave the TeamWorks program if possible, but we're getting there. So we made a major shift in how we served folks, particularly those who were laid off due to the pandemic, and also trying to get unemployment insurance.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Janet Glover Kirkfleet, founder of the Baltimore Job Hunter Support Group, about the challenges of job hunting during the pandemic. And joining us now is Virginia Bell, who recently participated in the Baltimore Job Hunter Support Group. Welcome, Virginia.
Thank you very much.
You were laid off last September, along with 255 of your fellow employees. What field were you in?
Healthcare information technology.
And how long had it been since you'd been on the job market?
About 9 years, 9 or 10 years.
What surprised you as you started your job search?
Everything had changed. You know, they had used an automated tracking system for human resources. So the way you actually submitted your resume, how you apply for applications, having to have a cover letter, all those things that you wouldn't normally do or I hadn't done in such a long time was totally different than what I had experienced, you know, 9 or 10 years ago when I was job searching.
And Virginia, you participated in the TeamWorks program at Baltimore Job Hunter Support Group that Janet mentioned to us. What did you take away from that experience?
A lot. I learned more about myself. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What areas I'd like to get into, experience? Did I want to change careers or do I want to stay in the same career, but maybe move into a different area of specialty? And then just about the resume and application experience and what to do, the changes that I needed to make, that looking for a job is a job within itself. That you are actually having to, you know, devote a lot of time to looking at job post boards, reviewing the information, catering that to your resume and your cover letter, and then submitting it, you know, and hoping that they get back to you.
Did you find that energizing or depressing to realize that the job search was a full-time job for you?
Depressing. Yes, depressing. You know, it's hard to get these emails from your employers that you submitted for to say, oh, we decided we wanted to go a different route, or we thank you for applying, but, you know, we found another candidate. And not even getting that first step in the door of having an interview was very depressing.
I got to tell you, from what I've read, just getting a thank you as opposed to just being ignored is something. So you were apparently doing it right. You accepted a job this spring. Tell us about it.
Oh, yes. So I had a colleague who knew that I was unemployed and had this job that she works with part-time and got me interested and said, hey, called me up and said, hey, I think this job will be good for you. I read it, submitted my resume. I had 3 interviews by the company and finally got the job. So I'm actually working for a government contract company, which is a female veteran-led company and owned. And I'm happy to be finally working and putting my boots on the ground.
And you're still in healthcare?
Yes.
Janet, what sectors are you seeing job openings in right now? And how does that line up with the fields people in the Job Hunter Support Group are looking to work in?
We hear a lot about all the jobs that are flooding into the market. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports regularly hundreds of thousands of jobs going into the market. And if you drive up and down York Road or any major road in Baltimore, you'll see a lot of, you know, hiring now signs. However, most of the jobs that are coming into the market right now are in hospitality and retail. And those don't align exactly with what a lot of our folks are looking for. Actually, a lot of our group members have worked in those industries, but we tend not to get hired in those industries. They tend to want the younger, inexperienced person, again, because of these various biases that people have about, you know, older workers and how long they're going to stay in a job like that. And are they going to take a direction? Are they going to work fast enough? You know, all of those kind of doubts that employers have about older workers. So although there's been lots of, you know, those kind of lower paid on unpredictable hours, not a steady schedule, no benefits type of positions, those are not good quality jobs. There's a lot of jobs flooding in, but they're not good quality jobs. And so that's really difficult for a lot of people in our group who have years of experience, usually at least a college degree, if not more, and they want to work. And a lot of times they can't even get hired for those positions.
Well, so do you advise people who have been out of work for months to go ahead and get something, even if it's not a quality job, or do you advise them to hold out for a job that fits what they're looking for?
I tend to advise people to get a job that they can get now if it makes sense for them. Obviously, if there are some jobs that are going to have red flags, or if somebody is physically not able to do a retail or hospitality type position, that might be different. The problem really, though, mostly is not that our folks won't take those jobs. A lot of times they don't even get offered those jobs. But yeah, in general, it's easier to get the job that you want even while you're still working. It's kind of a crazy paradox, but the thought is, if somebody else is willing to hire you, then maybe I should be too. So it's still easier to get a job if you have one. And if you can't do one of those type of positions, we encourage people to do something. Volunteer, take courses, consider national service, AmeriCorps, for example. You know, we have a colleague that says no one gets to the age of 40 without having some skills to offer the gig economy. So just coming up with a freelance business or a consultancy or becoming a 1099 employee. So we encourage people to do what they can to get back into the market and stay relevant. Of course, we have people who do Uber, DoorDash, Lyft, a lot of those services. And, you know, that gives people some short time or short term or fast cash. But yeah, in general, if it makes sense, and we do encourage people to work doing, you know, whatever it is that they can do.
Virginia, you, like many Marylanders, had difficulty obtaining unemployment benefits. How long did that take to resolve?
A long, long time. I applied for unemployment. I guess it was too early in their realm. And I got denied. And then I went back and appealed. And I got the appeal. And then I started going back to get my monies that I was supposed to by this time, several months had gone by. And then they had an issue with their system. And so it took me about 6 to 8 months to actually get all the monies that were due me from unemployment. Unfortunately, at the time when I was filing for unemployment was the time when the pandemic had just started. And so with all those people, plus those people who had been unemployed, it just overwhelmed the system.
It seems to be overwhelmed even now. Janet, both you and Virginia, are featured in the third episode of a three-part PBS special called The Future of Work. That episode premieres tomorrow. What can people expect from that conversation?
Well, I think a lot of the things that we've discussed here, I talk quite a bit about career mindset change, where we have to sort of step away, particularly baby boomers have to step away from this idea that you get one job, you stay in it forever, you retire, and then you die. So redefining what a career looks like. A career could be a full-time job and a side job. It could be two part-time jobs. It could be a combination of any, a variety of things. And looking at career, I like to think of it as life career. Career is a part of life. It's not our whole life. It's something that we need to do. And also the idea that, you know, a lot of people want to find their calling or their vocation. And what you are feel called to do may not be what you get paid to do. So I talked a lot about trying to redefine career, what makes sense for you, which is a lot of also what teamwork is about too. We want people to sort of re-examine all of these assumptions and beliefs that we were taught about career and work and the role it plays in our lives and make a different, possibly a different decision for yourself. What does work mean to you? What does career mean to you? How does it fit into your life? How much money do you really, you know, need to make? Do you want to make a lot of money? Great. Okay. So we got to do some other things. Or maybe you need enough to sustain your life and go into retirement. So just kind of looking, like questioning and reexamining a lot of the assumptions that we have about career and life and work.
And Janet, the Baltimore Job Hunter Support Group is celebrating its 10th anniversary this year. Tell us briefly about this outreach festival that you have planned the weekend after next on September 25th at the Corner Community Center in Roland Park.
We're really excited about the outdoor concert. The Hotel Paradise Roof Garden Orchestra will be performing. They're actually a band, a 12-piece band that plays music of the early jazz period, the 20s to the 30s. And it's going to be a fun outdoor event. It'll be the first time that I will have seen a lot of the group members since March 2020. And it'll be the first time that I actually meet a lot of the TeamWorks people in person. So we're going to have, it's going to be food. It's going to be fun. Job seekers can get headshots during the concert. We're going to have a few vendors. So I'm hoping it's going to be a really fun event. It is rain and shine, so people can, if it's raining, we'll just move inside. But we're hoping that it could be outside and people can sit on the lawn. We encourage people to bring blankets and lawn chairs and just come on out. It's a free event, and we will be happy to see everybody who shows up there.
Well, congratulations on your 10 years, and thank you both for talking to us. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Janet Glover Kirkfleet is founder of the Baltimore Job Hunter Support Group. Virginia Bell recently participated in the group's TeamWorks program. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we've got links to information about the group, as well as the 10th Anniversary Outreach Festival on September 25th, and the PBS special series, The Future of Work. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us on the record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.